Stories of Great Christians. From the Department of Broadcasting of the Moody Bible Institute, we bring you the final chapter of Saint, the story of Nate Saint, missionary pilot. At 4:30 on Sunday afternoon, January 8th, 1956, Marge waited at her radio station for the call that Nate had promised to make. Nate's last report from the air had mentioned a party of approaching Alcas. Hopefully, this was the long-awaited breakthrough. As minutes passed, Marge wondered if perhaps Nate had become preoccupied with the Alca visit and had forgotten. In Arahuno, Mary Lou McCulley and Barbara Udurian sat at their radio post, wondering the same.
Arahuno, calling Shalmera. Arahuno, calling Shalmera. Any word from Palm Beach, Marge? Over.
Shalmera standing by. No, no word yet. We'll be standing by.
Shortly after sundown, a doctor visiting the Bible Institute in Shalmera walked into the radio room where Marge still sat at her station, her head now down on the desk.
Marge, is something wrong?
Oh, Doc, maybe it's nothing. I don't know. Nate hasn't come in yet.
Where was he?
Well, he was supposed to call at 4:30.
Is it possible there's something wrong with his radio?
Yes. Yes, that's possible. It's happened before. But he was supposed to fly into Arahuna for the night, and he hasn't.
Where did you hear from him last? Where was he going? Maybe he went down. We'll get together a search party.
No, I don't think that's it.
Well, what then? Marge, what aren't you telling me?
Doc, you've got to promise to keep this to yourself. Nate and Ed McCulley and Jim Elliott and Pete Fleming and, well, I guess you don't know Roger Udarian. They've made contact with the Alcas.
The Alcas? You mean they've actually gone into Alca country?
They found an Alca settlement. The day before yesterday, they spent the whole day with three Alcas who came to them at their campsite. You see, they've been making gift drops. They seem friendly. Nate says he hasn't seen an Alca spear yet.
Do they have guns along?
Yes, but they weren't going to let the Alcas see them if they could help it. Whatever's gone wrong, there's nothing we can do tonight. It would be disastrous if this got spread around now when they've just made their first contact. All their efforts and plans would be ruined if an armed search party suddenly came crashing into Alca territory. And I have strict orders from Nate to keep this from getting around while he's gone.
All right. I won't say anything yet. But if something really has gone wrong, it probably would be too late anyway. But if there's still no word by morning...
I've already told Johnny Keenan about it. He'll fly out at dawn to see if the plane's still on Palm Beach.
J.K. Piper Cruiser to Shalmera. J.K. Piper Cruiser to Shalmera. Do you read?
We read you, Johnny. Go ahead.
Marge, I'm over Palm Beach. I can see the plane.
Well, do you see any signs of the fellas, Johnny?
No, Marge, I don't. The plane... All the fabric has been stripped off the plane.
Marge made no more attempts at secrecy after that. And soon the U.S. Air Rescue Service in Panama, the Ecuadorian Army, and all the missionaries in the area were involved in a rescue effort on the chance that the men might still be alive. But on Wednesday, while a ground party was approaching Palm Beach and a helicopter was arriving from Panama, Johnny Keenan radioed in that he had sighted a body a quarter of a mile downstream from the plane, floating face down in the water. By the end of the day, word had come that at least two of the men were dead, although their identification remained uncertain. Military men were amazed as the wives, now gathered together at Shalmira, faced the uncertainties with composure and scripture reading, rather than with hysteria and sedatives. Each carried on her work, washing, preparing meals for the large crowd of extra people, and Marge spent most of the daylight hours at her radio post, relaying messages between military planes and keeping them informed of the movements of tropical storms in the area. A man from HCJB in Quito flew in and set up a desk in the radio room to send out press releases. And on Friday, an anxious world was informed that all five men had been killed by Alka lances.
Lieutenant, we have some passages marked. We'd like you to read them for us, if you will.
All right. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them.
The testimonies of these five men provided more than just an interesting story for Life, Time, Reader's Digest, and the hundreds of newspapers that carried the account in following weeks. From all over the world came news of changed lives as a result of the knowledge that men were still willing to die for love of the living Savior. In England, an Air Force major immediately decided to join Mission Aviation Fellowship. In Iowa, an 18-year-old boy committed himself to try to take the place of one of the five someday. In Brazil, a group of Indians began an evangelistic campaign among their fellows that has earned eternal results. From such locations as Alaska, Africa, Italy, and Japan, the widows receive much more than just sympathy cards.
Oh, welcome back, Senor Saint.
Hola, Rodrigo.
I see you have another little one, eh? Let me take Stefan.
Thank you.
I'll see you day after tomorrow, Marge. Take care.
Thanks for the lift, Hal. So long.
I'm sorry we don't have more people here to welcome you. Nobody was sure when you are coming back.
Oh, that's all right.
What did you name this little one? He looks just like his papa. I think you should have named him Nate.
Nate never liked the name Nate.
Huh?
When he was a boy, he preferred being called Schnaz to Nate.
Schnaz? Schnaz? Where is Senor Hal going so soon?
Back to Arahuno. He's got a gift drop scheduled this afternoon at the Alka settlement.
You mean you still bring them gifts, those murderers? You are a crazy woman. Don't you have no feelings? How can you feel right knowing those dirty people are still running around happy like nothing happened? They use fabric from Nate's plane as patches on their roofs, Johnny says. If I were you, I would hate those Indians. I hate them just being me. I would hire someone to shoot them.
Now, that would be crazy. To kill the people my husband died trying to save.
Well, you should hate them anyway.
The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Nate told those people he was their friend. Just about the only thing he knew how to say in their language. He thought it was a friendship. Strange as it may have been, worth dying for. How can I hate them?
Well, here you are. Home, sweet home.
Not anymore, Rodrigo. I just came back to straighten things up.
You mean you're not a missionary anymore?
Certainly I am. But not a missionary pilot's wife. I'm taking the kids to Quito. There's plenty of work I can do there among the people at the prison. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to hearing lots of good things about the work down here. So take good care of Johnny and his family. He'll be flying down here alone until they can get another plane.
You will keep praying for us, Senora?
Of course I will. If you don't mind being mentioned in the same prayer with an Alka.
Marge prayed specifically for the ministry of Nate's sister Rachel, who had been picking up steadily the Alka dialect from Dioma, the runaway Alka. Although Dioma had perhaps a greater hatred for her own people than anyone, she gradually began to see the need for returning to them with God's word. Then one day, two of Dioma's aunts also ran away from the Alka jungle in order to escape a family feud, and Dioma taught them of the God of the Bible. In early September 1958, she returned with them to her people, and a month later, they reappeared with seven other Alka women at the Arahuna station, where Marge Saint was visiting Betty Elliott. They marched out of the jungle singing, "Jesus Loves Me." Betty had a long talk with Dioma and then began translating for Marge.
Dioma says they come with an official invitation for both Rachel and me to return with them. The people say they want to hear God's word.
That's wonderful. Wait until Rachel hears the news.
I suppose we'll get a lot of warnings from everyone around here. But they'll understand when they see the results.
It sounds like there's nothing from stopping our dreams from coming true now.
A few days later, Rachel Saint, Betty Elliott, and Betty's 4-year-old daughter Valerie followed the women to the village from which the Alkas had launched a deadly attack 3 years earlier. Although they were accompanied by a few armed Quechuas carrying guns, after their arrival, the Quechuas soon saw no need to stay. At first fearful of revenge, many of the Alkas hid themselves. But after a short time, Rachel wrote to friends of her progress.
It is my joy to greet you from this pretty little jungle clearing dotted with the Alka-thatched huts beside the Tiwaino River. A spot the Lord led Dioma to when she returned home after 12 years. We have been here almost 3 weeks now and rejoice at the apparent friendliness of all Dioma's related family group. Not understanding, we killed your men, they say. And some add, now we will hear about God. Every Sunday, Dioma gathers the whole group together under one of the thatch roofs and teaches them little by little about God, the Creator, and His Son, Jesus.
With time, believers multiplied in this jungle village and the surrounding areas, not always as a direct result of Rachel's preaching, but rather because the new believers couldn't rest until they'd told all their relatives, believing with all their hearts, that Jesus is coming again someday, and that they must be ready. God's carving, as they call the Bible, brought changes to their way of life, not cultural differences in food and dress, but a total change from the old nature to the new. Rachel's extremely successful work among the Alkas is a whole story in itself, but it's a story made possible only because her brother had been willing to lay down his life. Remembering how the five missionaries had given their lives while shooting their guns in the air rather than killing the people they came to reach, the Alkas had reason to believe the gospel of Nate's sister. Men had died for this Savior, and now new men would live for him. And so we conclude the final chapter of Saint, the story of Nate Saint, missionary pilot, adapted for radio by Fred Herron as another in the series Stories of Great Christians, produced by the Department of Broadcasting of the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago.